We thank you, Almighty Yahweh, for your guidance, for your blessings, for making all this possible. We thank you for your continued guidance, your safety that you give those who honor you, for healing, and for listening, just listening to our prayers, that we know that you are there. We thank you, Almighty Yahweh, now, and we ask for your continued vigilance, and then you would join us then through this service. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, as I guess you all must know by now, the fourth edition is here, fourth edition Restoration Study Bible. Why another edition? Some have asked that. Well, the easy, simple answer is we ran out of the third edition. We also ran out of our printer. So we had to find a new printer, and we figure as long as we're doing it, let's have a new and improved version. Why not make it even better, more useful, more truth? New wine in new wineskins. The quality of the fourth edition is also better and has a lot more features, which we'll get into. And we were so blessed to find a printer who keeps the cost about normal, like the third edition. So it's a win-win for everyone. You know, Yahweh's truth and Yahweh's people never rest. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:31, as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in Yahweh. We don't glory in what we do. We praise Yahweh for being able to what we do, for what we do. But it's not ourselves. It's Yahweh working through us and with us. Yahweh has been good to this ministry, extremely good. I never would have dreamed 20 years ago where we'd be today. So long as we remain true to our calling, he will continue to bless us, to be with us, to guide us. It's nothing short of amazing to me the way he has made a way for all the outreach that we do and still be able to publish four editions of a study Bible. From our inception, it was obvious that Yahweh's hand guided this effort. We see and saw it everywhere. I am in awe when I look back and see how just a few Gideon few accomplish great things. Last night I was thinking about how all the elements came together in this ministry. From many decades of in-depth study and learning to build from, 150 years of knowledge from four seasoned ministers, to the funding, to the technological know-how in computers, in video production, in printing, and not the least being the tireless love of many who had a desire to make a vision come true. Yahweh said, what you do to the brethren, you do to me. Sacrificing for others. That's what we do here. It's what drives this ministry. We have had and still have many volunteers and supporters. You've seen some today who come here to support and sacrifice for the work. It's their love of the truth and the brethren that drives YRM. We could never accomplish what we have done without an organized body. You know, there are some people who say, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, my answer is try to do a worldwide outreach without one. See how far you get. It was the only structure given in the New Testament. Paul established assembly after assembly on his missionary journey. 14 assemblies over four, I don't know how many thousands of miles, but four journeys that he took. Organizing ministries. With structured leadership. That's what carries on the truth and nothing less. A growing worldwide outreach won't happen with a singleton, a maverick out there. He may have the desire, but he's got to have help. Matter of fact, one of the early sacred name leaders, they say he just worked himself to death because he tried to do it all himself. While working a full-time job, he was printing on a little spirit duplicator at night, doing little tracks, going out visiting people. Just worked himself to death. He had a small impact, which, you know, is still carried on with some of his tracks. We still have some of them. And they were good. He brought a lot of truth out. But you need a team of horses all pulling together to really get the plowed land that you need. But we're not going to stop with each accomplishment either. After one meeting, one goal, we go and jump on to the next. Always driven by those twin mandates. Preach the word and show yourselves approved by study. You know, that's combination truth that's put this Bible together. So I don't want to focus on the RSB for a bit, the anchor of this ministry's outreach. From the beginning, we had a dream to produce a study Bible, an evangelistic tool that would really help people understand the Word. Yeah, we knew there were Bibles out there, but to answer some of the questions that are constantly being brought up, we needed something more. An evangelistic tool that would bring to light key teachings of Scripture in an understandable way. A means for private study when you're away from the body. And this vision included a Bible that restored the true names, Yahweh and Yahshua, because that's the key to truth. It would focus on hundreds of neglected, forgotten, covered up truths that impact personal salvation. Much of it supported by the Greek and the Hebrew. So we put all those elements together into a study Bible. Countless times we've gotten biblical questions that are already answered in the RSB if they just had one. Answered in the footnotes, answered in the topical reference at the back. And that is a key reason for the Bible, answering the myriad of common questions, popular questions, all in a single research that saves lots of time, lots of energy, and points to further study as you get into the Word. Have you ever started with a study, maybe a topic, and you start here, and as you get into it, you end up way over here? You say, oh, that is interesting. You start looking at it. Ooh, I don't know about that. Oh, yeah, how about that word there? And it just grows. It's kind of like it's a living book. It's also why we produce Bible study lessons, 40 booklets for people to read. It's all online, all in publication if they want to read print. One of our inspirations for a Sacred Name Study Bible was the Companion Bible. I have one right here. Have you ever heard of the Companion Bible? It was produced in the early 1900s. Well, it didn't look like this, but it's a Bible like this that has more notes than it does text on many pages. It was produced by an Englishman named Ethelbert Bullinger, and he focused many of his notes and commentary on the Hebrew and the Greek. So he's got that in there. You can look up the Hebrew and the Greek. You can see the words. He was far ahead of his time. I was amazed. You know, sometimes when I was first learning, you know, I'd look at that and say, how did he know that? How did he know these things? How did he know that Yahshua was impaled on a Wednesday instead of a Friday? How did he know that? How did he know that he was impaled on a pole and not a cross piece cross? Because of Zulon and Staros, which were the source words for those, for the cross, so to speak, which means to drive stakes. He knew a lot of truth back then. I know Yahweh had to guide him. Now, he wasn't accurate on everything. He was a dispensationalist, thinking, which means that Yahweh dealt with certain people at different times a certain way. Actually, we find that Yahweh deals with everybody the same way. You have to be grafted into the promise, the covenant. But our task was to produce a study Bible in a similar vein, guided by the project management skills of Elder Randy. After 2.5 years, of weekly meetings and combined efforts by at least 20 volunteer brethren, the dream was materialized in the year 2011. I think we printed 1,000? Was it 1,000? Sounds right. Copies of the first edition. We learned many things from that humble beginning. One was to remember not to put the book and chapter headings of each page on the inside gutter. Makes it very difficult. Incidentally, we're not the first to produce a Bible that restores the true names of Yahweh and Yahshua. Angela B. Traina, in the early years, along with a fellow named Clarence Dodd, these were sacred name, you might say almost like founders, produced a New Testament sacred name Bible in 1950, and went on in 1963 to have one that does both Old and New Testament translation with the names. It has a few footnotes. We were glad to have it. Learned a few things there. A caller this week ordered the fourth edition. He had been using the first edition for 10 years and didn't know he needed anything more. I think Lucas told him, you need the fourth edition, you're going to be blown away. Why? Well, the first edition of the Restoration, got my little number on here, Restoration Bible, was pretty bare bones. I just, I could have put this on screen, I wish. Oh, by the way, wasn't that screen great? The digital screen, it's just so clear and nice. I should have put some of this on there. But anyway, it had some things in here. Of course, the numbers for Strong's reference dictionary, and also some footnotes in it. But it didn't have some other things. It had some charts, 18 charts and maps, a topical reference of only 6 pages in the back that just listed the reference, nothing more, for each topic. No book introductions there. No chapter headings. No did you knows. Little tidbits are kind of interesting that we scatter throughout the Bible now. The second edition came a little later. The second edition had a few improvements. It had 45 charts and maps, chapter headings, Strong's dictionaries at the back, and that was a big improvement, where you can actually look up the number of that word and do your own analysis. That was really great. We liked that. And 33 New Testament charts, tables, and maps, 45 archaeological charts. 45 charts, tables, and maps, and 16 archaeological charts, and also added the book introductions. That's the third, probably the one you've got now, if you haven't ordered the fourth. Fourth edition, wow, that kind of says it all, really. That's a topical reference was expanded to 120 pages. We actually wrote out the references, so you don't even have to look them up in another Bible or in this Bible. It's right there, with verses written out to save time. We also, I don't have this one, but we also now have genuine cowhide, which I think feels really good and will add to its durability in the premium style. Thumb tabs for locating, you know, your reference, your books, which is a great addition. We had New Testament charts, 48 of them, 58 of them, 48 Old Testament charts, 58 new, double the archaeology charts to 33, have a page of biblical Hebrew alphabet in there, and the vowel points. Those are kind of hard to find. The vowel points in that chart, I think is very helpful for those that want to start learning Hebrew. The thickness is now 2 inches. The first one was 1.5 inches I measured, so that many improvements have occurred since the first edition. All of the Bibles are offered at minimal cost. One person apologized this week after claiming that we came out with a fourth edition just to pad our bank account. He found out that the Bible proceeds go back into a self-sustaining fund so that we can continue producing more Bibles when the need arises. Proverbs 18:13 says, it's foolish to answer a matter before you hear it. Jumping to conclusions, imputing motives, this is what people do. Why? What's the point? Just hear them out, then make your judgment. But don't second-guess people. We do it all the time, I'm sorry, but that's what they do when they contact us, some of them who have a little animosity. So they say, well, you're just trying to fill in the blank, you know. Well, the Bible says you don't do that. That's basically a sin to do that. At least it's folly. So anyway, how does the student of Scripture benefit from the Restoration Study Bible? How does he really learn from and derive some truth from this new edition? Well, you know, nothing advances and solidifies the truth of the names than a Bible that has those names inserted in the text. Maybe I should say restored to the text, because the Masoretes basically took out the sacred names by substituting vowel points for Elohim and maybe Adonai as well. So they were just restoring what was originally there in the manuscripts. That alone makes the RSB a powerful evangelizing tool. You want to talk about the name to someone? Show them the Bible. They'll look and they'll see that, it's got that name in there. Someone must have known there's something important about that name to stick it in a Bible, they might say. Anyway, it helps. It really helps to solidify the truth of the name for people because they're not used to it. They don't see it in their regular King James or any of the other ones. Oh, there's a few. Matter of fact, my son was telling me, couldn't get hold of him, but I was trying to confirm it. He says one of the larger evangelical ministers out there is going to print a Bible inserting the sacred name. I don't know when, I don't know how, but he's pretty well known. He said, because it's important to restore that truth. We'll see what happens. More and more people are learning the name. When we first started out back in, the old sacred name Bible days, people wondered, what is that? What are you saying? What's this Yahweh? What is that? More and more, they don't even bat an eye. They know it. They know it because their ministers know it. And their ministers sometimes blurt it out on purpose or maybe by accident. I don't know. But maybe they're teaching it the truth of the names. I don't know. But anyway, not only is it great for independent study, but also for sharing truth with others. You can answer questions directly through a footnote or from the topical reference in the back. We were doing it just this Bible study. Talk about the LORD's day, or the day of the LORD. For most people out there, they think that means Sunday. Look in the back, look at the reference, in the topical reference. It means the day of Yahshua's return. And Amos says, don't desire that day. It's going to be a terrible day when Yahshua returns to judge this earth. So here again, we're already using it. And it really does help. And it's, they're all alphabetized, so you can find the topic. We tried to cover the major topics that deal with truth and salvation. The ones that really matter, not this fluffy stuff. But the things that people really gotta know and get under their belt. We also want a Bible where those Bible students could get answers to the hard questions that most people don't want to deal with. The hard questions, the difficult passages. Case in point, there's a two-page chart on page 1759 called Problematic Passages from Paul. And in there, these are things you're going to hear over and over and over, try to discount truths that we know are right. They'll point out things that, because of this passage, answering the point where it says Yahshua is the end of the law. If you look it up, the word is telos, and it means he's the goal. He's the whole purpose for it. He's the reason. He's why we observe Yahweh's commandments, because Yahshua is the coming judge, and he commands it. Or Romans 14:5, where one man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let everyone be persuaded in their own mind. You can decide whatever you want, which day you're going to worship. When it's not talking about that, it's talking about fasting. The Pharisees fasted twice a week. And you can decide what day you want to fast, as long as it's not the Day of Atonement, because that's not up to your discretion. But let each be persuaded in his own mind. You decide how you want to fast. Fasting is good. Fasting humbles us. Fasting is good for your health. They're saying that all the time. Take a day and fast. You'd be surprised how it clears your mind. It's good for the body. Anyway, things like that. We answer it according to truth, not according to tradition. Many new to the truth don't always appreciate how valuable it is to have salvational doctrines correctly hammered out for them over many, many years, many, many decades even. We didn't have a lot of ready answers back in the 1960s when we first discovered the truth. We had to blaze many trails on our own, digging, work, sweat. Research doesn't always come easy. Scholarship often wasn't readily available. We didn't have reference books, or at least we didn't know of them, because for one thing, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have Google, and that does help, as much as we sometimes don't care for the way they do things. We didn't know about all the helpful resources there. And without it, we had to learn it the old-fashioned way, the old College of Hard Knocks. And it took time. It took lots of time, a lot of blood, sweat, toil, and sometimes even tears when people didn't want to accept the truth. You take the complex biblical calendar, for instance. We had to dig deep, deep, deep to finally hammer out what is the biblical calendar and why are the Jewish calendar and all these wall calendars wrong. That's a big study in itself. Huge. Now all you do is get our YRM calendar, look it up, and you got the date right, I hope. Much as we can tell, anyway, by the phenomena that we have to observe. So anyway, we had to examine all the permutations, eliminating erroneous traditions, zeroing in on historical and scriptural accuracy. It was hard work. And now we can all benefit by that. Not just us. I'm talking about sacred name movement in general and the elders that came before us. Now you can see how the Bible harmonizes completely throughout. You look at different teachings and eliminate one by one because they don't square with Scripture. It contradicts another teaching in Scripture. Or they don't accurately convey the meaning of the Hebrew or the Greek word. Well, throw that out. So I hope that this little brief little expose is valuable. You get a little more idea of where all this started and how we ended up where it is. But we got to remember the time is essential, brethren. The world is on a collision course with Yahweh. Churches are being assailed, not just in Russia and China, but right here in the United States. It's starting. We have a closing window of opportunity to get the desperately needed word out there before we're shut down. Yahshua is soon to judge the sin and wickedness all around us. More and more we ask, where's the word being taught today that this world desperately needs? It needs repentance because of its sin. And that's what's the cause of the whole thing. The truth is being replaced by such thing as a political correctness, which will one day stifle freedoms to preach the word. I hope it's not for a while off. You never know. Paul's parting words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2 were, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, when it's convenient. When it's not, when it's timely, even when it's not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That doctrine just means teachings. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they'll not even endure the Bible. That might be called hate speech. You never know. Seems to be headed that way. Paul's appeal was not just a suggestion, but an urgent command. Time is coming. A study Bible helps exponentially to separate truth from error, or I should say maybe even error from truth, to go past superficial teachings and ferret out the real message of the word. A caller said that he wished back when he was 25 that he had the understanding that he does now at the age 70. Well, you know, it's never too late. Yahshua's parable says that. Never too late to learn the truth. It is Yahweh who calls, Yahweh who provides the avenue for truth. We're just amazed how people come to the truth sometimes in ways you'd never even imagine. They say the truth in the Philippines started when a tract blew across a path. Someone picked it up and read it, was convinced by it. Maybe, you know, one of the old sacred name elders wrote it. Who knows? Probably did. And from there, it's history. Philippines grew and grew and grew. They're eager to learn truth. So we got to always remember, it's Yahweh who calls. Our job is to answer that call, not question it or, you know, be down in the dumps because you didn't have a grasp early on. Just be happy that you're called. You know, Yahshua gave parables about that. Well, we've been working all along. How come he gets the same wages we get? Yahshua says, because I say so. We chose the King James, for instance. People wonder why you use the King James Bible, and there's other versions that are good for certain things. Some versions, the newer versions, are not so good in the New Testament because they like to discount the law, and they flavor everything that way, it seems. But first of all, because it's an all-around good conduit for digging deeper into the source words, the Hebrew and the Greek. There's a lot of references tied to it. Most Bible students are familiar with it. It has a long history as the best-selling Bible for centuries, the King James. Yeah, it's got stilted language. But you know, it was revised like 17 times. The one you're reading is not 1611. It's like 1720-something. I forgot. I wrote it down somewhere. Anyway, it's been revised and revised and revised. And some of the language has been updated to that point, you know, which is still archaic to us, but they did revise it and took out some things that they found were not accurate. But on the most part, it was very accurate. And there's a few dozen things that need to be changed. But we also note that in the Bible, in the Restoration Study Bible, at the footnote. We did also because we can't be accused of writing our own private Bible, as some groups do. And immediately turns off a lot of people who are sincerely learning for the truth. Well, that's your own Bible. I want to know, you know, what the word says. King James is not copyrighted in this country, so we're free to use it. And the copyright on the Strong's Concordance has run out, so we can use that too, and that's why we did. It's also useful for Bible study and connecting with other word studies like lexicons, like Thayer's, Vine's Dictionary, New Englishman's Concordance, Lexicon, Brown Driver Briggs, Decenius, all of these use Strong's numbers. So you can take Strong's numbers in your text and you can go to, you don't have to go even to Strong's. You can go to one of these other lexicons. Go right to it because they got the same number. Very useful in that regard. I want to look just real quickly. I got a little bit of time. A lot of time, actually, but that's okay. We have time for fellowship. But a little hands-on with a concordance. Here's how Strong's can help clear up some difficulties. We'll look up Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, I've heard this. Since sorcerers comes from pharmakia, the Greek word for pharmacists, they're all going to burn in hell. Is that accurate? Is that true? Look up the word sorcerers, as it's used in Revelation 21:8. The Greek reference number you find is 5332. Let's read the verse again, the way it should be understood according to the Greek. Revelation 21:8. For the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and spell-giving sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is talking about, brethren, felony drug dealers who sell hallucinogenic drugs on the street. Sorcerer is one who uses magical remedies. According to Thayer's, a spell-giving potion, according to Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary. So using an exhaustive concordance can lead you on to more truth as you go and even dig deeper. I like Vine's Expository Dictionary. I've got a Strong's Concordance with Vine's in it. It's very good. It goes on, it'll go a whole column on explaining one word. It's very good. Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary, if you want to buy one. I just suggest it. But you can get helpful insight when what a word means and short-circuit the error that's out there. A concordance is helpful in learning the definitions of Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic words. It opens up a whole new world of another language that the Bible used way back when. A concordance is invaluable if it, just in trying to locate the book, chapter, and verse. Now, we have the number, but if you're thinking of a word like salvation, you want to know in the Bible where it is, you do a reverse search with a concordance. You look up the word, and then you look down through all the places that salvation is found, and take that number, and then go to the back like we do with the number here. But to get that number, I mean, we'd have to have a Bible, you know, how thick, to have Strong's Concordance as well as the dictionaries in it. And that brings to mind something else. The thing that people, we're getting a lot of, I think Lucas made a comment one time, the biggest request we get is, do you have large print? And we have to tell them, you know what? This Bible, I don't know, what is it? 3 pounds? Almost 4 pounds? How about a large print that's like 10 pounds? You want to carry this around to services and all that? I mean, it's great. It's great if you're going to sit there on the desk at home. It'd be wonderful. But for, you know, traveling, it'd be a look at the difference. It'd be a challenge. This happens to be, by the way, the companion Bible that I first had. And it's hardback. I was so glad when they got a softback that's, you know, like this instead. But anyway, maybe someday we'll have some kind of large print. I don't know. We'll have to figure that one out. Sit down with Randy DeMette, and I'm sure he's thrilled to get involved in another one. But he's done a great job, and it's amazing what he can do. I think he uses a program called LaTeX. I love that word, LaTeX, to lay out the text of the Bible. Anyway, we appreciate all his work too, and most of it is, if not all of it, is volunteer, and it just astounds me that this sort of thing, to do this, somebody said, to do this, big corporations, to do what he can do, charge thousands of dollars to get a programmer to do that, and he does it through his own love of Yahweh, and that's great. So anyway, I hope that this has helped. One of the ones I didn't show was the one we have now because we all have it. But if you notice the tetragrammaton here on this version, some of them on the third editions stand out more than others. So we changed the color and said, that ain't going to happen. Look at this one. Every one of them looks just like that. So you can see the tetragrammaton clearly. Someone can ask you, what is that? You know, we also get that same question. We're wearing a shirt with Yahweh's name on it, tetragrammaton. People, hey, I know that. It sparks a conversation. So all these things contribute to getting the word out. And we've been blessed in so many ways to be able to do that, and with those that know how to do that, but also trying to find new ways, new avenues to get Yahweh's word into the hands of people. So I pray that this is helpful to you. We've kept the cost down so that, what is the outreach? I think it's only $18. I mean, who can't afford that? Well, maybe a prisoner can't when he makes $5 a week. But we're also going to donate a lot to them too. So I hope that maybe this gives you a better idea of what happened, what we went through to get the fourth edition RSV. And it's a labor of love. We want to get Yahweh's truth out. And I hope you do too. May Yahweh bless you.